You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Start off with, why is wildfire planning a neglected area in New Zealand's natural hazard management?
Probably a number of reasons. One is that we have very many flood incidents, for example. So, you know, we see that as a regular occurrence. And we're, because so many of our communities are located along the shoreline, we're experiencing coastal storms and coastal erosion. And anything weather-related is being affected by climate change. So we're seeing more intense and more frequent storms. And so those are uppermost in people's mind. And fires, we tend to think of them as problems that arise because people start a fire and it might be a building that burns, and we rely on our fire emergency management services to deal with the problem and put the fire out. But what the study that recently came out shows is that provided some quantification of urban fire incidents in relation to global warming. In other words, how much more frequent might we experience different kinds of urban fires? And it turns out that New Zealand is one of the places in the world that is likely to experience more dramatic increase in fire risk in our urban areas as the planet warms. That's an important finding, but as you would know, having seen fire at the urban wildland interface in places like Los Angeles, California more generally, but also in the Mediterranean and a number of other countries, we're seeing more and more wildfire incidents that cause really wide-scale devastation. And some of these are occurring at the interface of urban areas and wildlands, grasslands or forests. And we've seen this in New Zealand as well. In the Port Hills, we had major fires in 2017 and 2024.
Right.
And just last week in Waipoa, there were 20 homes evacuated as they dealt with a major fire. So this is a threat to some of our communities that are located in these areas that are prone to this wildfire risk. And I think what I was wanting to draw attention to is we need to take this seriously. And by taking it seriously, what I mean is it's not enough to rely on effective responses by fire and emergency management who do a brilliant job in putting out fires. We need to have a conversation with fire and emergency management and land use planners, community development specialists and the like, so that we avoid putting people in harm's way. In other words, when we're looking at new development, that we think about the range of perils that are faced, and fire is amongst those that need to be taken more seriously.
Would you say that general understanding of urban fire incidents in New Zealand is quite lacking?
No, I think we've got a very good urban fire response system, very well-trained firefighters, and there's quite a good public education and awareness raising around having fire alarms, etc. But responding to a fire once it's started is absolutely essential and necessary, but there's also a lot more we can do to reduce the fire risk and to build resilience, which includes avoiding having these incidents occur. And that's including in urban areas, but also especially what I want to highlight is that where the urban areas or suburban areas meet the rural and the kind of wildland interface, those are places that are prone to these wildfires, and there's much more we can do to build resilience in the face of that fire risk.
How much progress has been made on mitigating the 4-degree rise in global temperatures estimated by 2100? Are we on track to prevent this?
In short, global warming is with us. It's a here and now problem, and our continued emission of greenhouse gases is making this worse and worse. There are various projections that the IPCC has made. We've more or less crossed the threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels of average global warming, and that is already at a dangerous level for communities, for our wildlife, for life on Earth. You'd see this very starkly in a place like Australia, where they have experienced dramatic flooding, terrible fires, and so on. And we see some of that in New Zealand as well. So unfortunately, despite agreement by nations around efforts to curb greenhouse gas emissions, the progress we've made is inadequate, it is insufficient. So we are already heading into a world of dangerous climate change. And how that manifests itself is more intense and more frequent extreme events related to weather, whether that's in the form of more intense downpours or even more intense droughts. Depending on where you are, you can get changes in rainfall, changes in flooding, and with rising sea levels, which is not some future problem, it's a present reality, what happens is what were previously rare events become more and more common as global average sea levels rise, which is not distributed evenly around the planet, but particularly on coasts like New Zealand, where we have some subsiding coastlines. The combination of subsiding coastlines and rising sea level means that what were historically less severe coastal storms with storm surge and high tide flooding of coastlands, we're seeing that happen more and more frequently. And because so many of New Zealand's people and the things we value are located around low-lying coastlines, this reality is becoming more and more intense. And so whether it's in South Dunedin or parts of Auckland or parts of Wellington, many of our built-up urban areas are located close to the seashore, and we're going to experience more and more intense extreme events in those locations.
And finally, how can New Zealand better incorporate climate change projections into urban fire planning policies?
So it's a good question. What we've done a very good job of around natural hazards in general, whether it's floods or fires or earthquakes, is we tend to stand back after a serious event and we tend to look at how did the response go. So whether it's the Port Hills fires after the 2017 event, there was an investigation looking into how effective was the response. What can we learn from this incident? How might we do things better? We've done the same thing with flooding after the Auckland anniversary flood of recent times. We look at what was effective, what worked well, what didn't work well. What we did the same thing after the series of earthquakes down at Otatahi, Christchurch. What we've done less well at is thinking about how did the recovery go? What worked well in these long time, it takes a long time to do recovery, and in some cases it's ongoing. What's worked well, what hasn't worked so well in recovery is not something we've done a very good job of. And in the context of fires in particular, we've tended to continue to be preoccupied with the response. In other words, what do we do after the fire has started, and what worked well or not in terms of putting the fire out? What we've done less well at is looking at why were there so many people exposed to that fire risk in the first place? What is it about our land use planning decisions that could be improved to avoid putting people in harm's way? Whether it's in the face of flooding or fire risk, there's much we can do through land use planning decisions, notwithstanding the shortage of housing and the need to provide safe, secure, and healthy homes for people. We need to avoid putting people in places prone to natural hazards. And so I guess my plea is, yes, it's important that we have our responses well-oiled, well-practiced, and efficient and effective, but we also need to be making sure that we are proactive in avoiding avoidable risk. In other words, do not allow new builds in places that are going to flood or that will, you know, perhaps are on a fault line prone to seismic, you know, events, or at that wildland urban interface where perhaps there's a pronounced risk because of forestry or some other land use.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.